Please.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Aaron Foster. I'm one of the elders here, and on behalf of the congregation, I have the honor to get us started tonight. And I want to make sure if you haven't had the privilege of taking the Lord's Supper today, we want to make sure you have that opportunity. So if you can exit now, if you haven't had that chance, and then people will direct you to our little chapel, and you'll be able to partake of that tonight. This is always an exciting night for us. Northeast means so much to our community. It means so much to the congregation that meets here, and we just take it as an awesome privilege to get to welcome you to Boonville. Those of you who are coming back for a second year, we want to welcome you back. For those of you who it's the first time, we want to welcome you to our awesome community and also to the church that meets at this location. So we do that with a worship service, so we're going to do that first. We're going to have our worship service here tonight, and then we have some amazing food that we've been preparing and getting ready. And I think we'll have a great fellowship afterwards, so we hope all of you will stay and enjoy that meal with us and let us get to know you better. So before we start our worship, which Jonathan will lead us in our songs, and of course our college minister, Bo, will come up and direct everything, I'd like to start us off in prayer so we can clear our minds and get our hearts ready. Bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And we are so thankful for any time we get to worship you, and we are thankful for tonight. And we are thankful for every soul that is in this building. And Father, we pray that we will clear our hearts and our minds, and we'll focus on glorifying you in everything we do from this moment. We love you so much, and we love Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. There we go. Again, it's great to have everybody here tonight. We're so excited that you could all come be with us as we not only honor you, but as we honor God. I can't talk. Holy. But as we honor God, God did it again. I'm going to be quiet and we're going to sing. If this is your first time visiting with us, just know you are our honored guests. If it's not your first time, welcome back. This congregation loves to sing. And we sing together, we sing with our hearts. So I ask that you join with us as we sing these first few songs together.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed.
Oh,
this newer song, Gratitude. It is a newer song for Boonville Church. So if you do know it, please sing out as we worship God.
All my words fall short.
I'm you will, please bow with me again as we have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again very humbly. Father, we come to you humbly because you're awesome and everything you do is great and you are great. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us and what you will do for us. Thank you for your love for us. So much to give your only son. And I pray tonight that all of us here will remember that sacrifice. We will look to him. I pray, Father, for this service. So thankful that we could all be here together in this wonderful night. And just want to thank you for each person here, as Aaron's already said. Thank you, Father, for Jonathan and what he does leading our singing. Pray for Bo as he comes next, that you would bless him. Pray that you would be with our college ministry here at Boonville this year. And again, just want to thank you for Bo and Alice and their family and all they do for us. And everyone behind the scenes that works hard to provide for our students. God, we're here for our students, here for you. But tonight, we're also here for our students to let them know we care about them, we love them. And just pray you would guide them, bless them this year. My prayer is that they would look to you, look to your word for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, for help through struggles and trials, and just ask you to be with each of them. Please bless them for being here tonight. Again, we love you and we thank you for your love for us so much. You would send your only son. We ask all this in his name. Amen.
Check one, two, check. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, you can hear me.
Yes, you can hear me. Again, along with the words of Aaron and Brother Jonathan and Brandon, welcome. We're so thankful that you came out to, first and foremost, to welcome or worship our Lord, but to also to try to give you or provide some information to you to let you know some of the things. It's really loud. Some of the things that we offer you here at the Boonville Church of Christ. But as Jonathan said, is that going to work? Contact. I tell you, when you get 50, you can no longer see. I have no idea if that's on or off. Bingo, here we go. But we're so glad you're here. Let me start this again. Some of the things that we offer here at the Boonville Church of Christ. First of all, those of you who don't know me, my name is Bo Gross. My wife Alice and I have been working with the college ministry here for about 7 years. And it's been a joy and it's been a pleasure. And it's not just us. There's an army of people, and I'm not going to start naming names because I'll leave some people out. But if you would, get your cell phones out and save our numbers, because about 95% of the time, I'm within a mile of Northeast Campus. I work for the post office, so I'm either at home, which is only about 1.1 miles from here, or at the post office, which is right across the road from campus, or I'm here at the church building. So if you need me, if you need any of us, reach out to us. I don't care if it's something, if you have questions about God's Word, I'd love to have conversations with you about your faith and about God, or if you have a flat tire, or anything in between. Whatever you need, we are here to help you. Me and my wife, Allison, we're blessed with three beautiful daughters. I am a professional girl dad. They are grown. My oldest is Anna Claire Pettigrew, my middle child is Caroline Gross, and my youngest is Mary Houston Gino. Very proud of them, I love them very much, and I even got two son-in-laws now, and they're okay sometimes too, I guess. Now, Trevor Pettigrew and Austin Gino are my two son-in-laws, and they know I'm picking on them because they know I love them very much. I've also got another one on the way. This December, I'm going to be a grandpa. And I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it at all. See, I'd give you your name, but we don't know what that is yet. But it's kind of irrelevant because I'm sure all I'm going to do is call it baby girl. That's what I call all my girls. So We're excited about that. Every Sunday, we would love for you to make the decision to come worship God with us. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. Brother Ken Forrest is our pulpit minister. He is a rare example of someone that God truly blessed and has an unbelievable work ethic. So he puts a lot of time and a lot of effort into the message he presents to us every Sunday morning. So we'd love for you to come with us every Sunday at 9:30 and worship God. Also on Sundays at 5 o'clock, we have a Bible study for all ages, from newborns, cradle row, to 100, everything in between. We would love for you to come at 5 o'clock on Sundays. College guys, I'll be teaching the class. We'd love to have you there in the annex to study God's Word. But our big night is really on Wednesday nights. It's not just Wednesday. You're going to see us on campus some. We also coordinate the efforts of the Northeast Club, the Christians on campus. So we have the privilege and opportunity to go on campus for different events. This year's calendar was a little funny because we've actually already been there. So I may have met some of you last Thursday. From around 10:30 in the morning to around 1 in the evening, Allison and I and Brandon and some others, we like to froze to death underneath that tent. It was hot. I thought about you football guys today. I did. As we was leaving church, I'm going home in my air-conditioned truck, and I looked over, and y'all were running 40s or conditioning. There's a lot of things about football I miss. That's not one of them, for sure, but it was hot. But on Wednesday nights, at 6:30, we meet in the annex, and we provide some things. First and foremost, for about 30 minutes, I am short-winded, as you'll find out tonight as I preach, we study God's Word. And why in the world do we do that? Well, you think about this. We have the privilege and opportunity to hear the words of the most powerful being, the all-knowing being God, the one who created everything. He created us. And we have the privilege to open up our Bibles and get a piece of His instruction or His guidance for us. Why would we not take that opportunity each and every chance that we get? Also, one of my favorite things about Wednesday night is our fellowship. Not only do I enjoy getting to know you personally, because this past Wednesday I had some kids come back from the last couple of years, or last year, and just seeing them walk in and seeing their faces and knowing I already have a relationship with some of them, it means the world to me. But not just our relationship with you, also your relationship with one another. God tells us that we need one another. We need to spend time with one another. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, don't forsake the assembly of the saints, but come together. Because it encourages us, makes us feel good. It's good for us to be around one another. And how do we fellowship? We eat. And I'm talking about we really eat. And I think maybe this is cruel and unjust punishment to show you slides like this before supper. But we have home-cooked meals every Wednesday night. And I'll put the meals that we put in front of you over any meal that you'll find in the city limits. The cafe does great, and I know they do. But we do a really, I have some cooks that do a really good job. We have shrimp bowls. We have breakfast night. That's one of the kids' favorites. We do biscuits and bacon and sausage. They really enjoy that one. We do this Wednesday night. We have a pasta bar where we have Alfredo or marinara along with shrimp and chicken. So this Wednesday night, 6:30, if you want to come eat with us, we'd love to have you. And we don't make you eat things like bologna sandwiches. Nothing wrong with a bologna sandwich. I've ate plenty in my life. But we do a good home-cooked meal every Wednesday night. But life's about choices. And at your age, you're going to make a lot of very important decisions. And what I'm going to try to do to encourage you, look to God for guidance on those choices. Let Him be the one that leads you down certain paths. And on Wednesdays, sometimes you're not going to have a choice. Sometimes you have other obligations. Sometimes you'll have mandatory practices. Maybe you take an online test. It happens, and I understand that. But if you're sitting in your dorm room, I want you to make the choice to come out and study God's Word with us, fellowship with us, enjoy that good meal. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What I'm trying to do, young people, is trying to get you to choose God. It's the best decision you'll ever make is to give your life to God above. Why would we do that? Well, one of the reasons we're going to do that is because we have an understanding of what Jesus did for us. You see, mankind, we messed up our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We make mistakes. We miss the mark. The Bible calls it sin. And when we sin, we damage that relationship. We can't have a relationship with our Father because of our sin, because of our mistakes, and we all fall so short of what He deserves. But Jesus Christ came to this earth, born in a very humble situation. He lived a perfect life. He lived a life of service, of humility, kindness, compassion, and love. He did all these wonderful things, and what did we as mankind do for Him because of it? We nailed Him to a tree. We killed Him. And we also put Him in the ground. We put Him in a tomb. But I'm so happy to say that tomb couldn't hold Him. That tomb was empty. In that single act, what Jesus did for us, He took care of our sin problem. He sacrificed Himself for us. He conquered death. And why would we not want to take the time every week and hopefully every day of our lives to read in our Bibles about Jesus and about the things He's done for us? Once we've heard what Jesus has done, do you believe it? And if you believe it, I hope that motivates you to get your Bibles out and figure out what He wants from you. What He asks us to do, what He commands us to do, is repent of our sins, to turn our life around, to confess Him before mankind. He says, if you confess Me before man, I will confess you before My Father. He also tells us to have our sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. It's the gospel plan of salvation. It's really not asking very much of us, let's be honest. It doesn't take very long. But our life goes beyond the time when we obey the gospel. We're still trying our best to live for Him. In Ephesians, Paul's writing to Christians at Ephesus. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. It goes back to our choices. We have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We have to make very wise decisions because the days can be evil. So what I'm trying to get you to do is to choose God. Choose God. Now, I thought about this, about individuals on their deathbed. Maybe they're terminally ill and they don't have very long to live. And you hear about some of the regrets that they're going to have. Sometimes you hear individuals say, I wish I would not have spent so much time chasing the almighty dollar. I worked too much. I didn't spend enough time with my family. Or maybe I wish I would have took the time to repair those broken relationships with friends and family in their lives. But I want to tell you some things I've never once read or heard about someone saying while they were on their deathbed. I've never heard someone say, man, I wish I wouldn't have went to Bible study on Wednesday nights. I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time at church on Sundays worshiping my God. I tell you another thing I've never heard. I've never once seen somebody that was at the death's doorstep say, I'm so disappointed I give my life to Christ. I've never heard it one time. So live your life in a way you don't have those regrets. Live your life choosing God above. Now, a real quick example of it's a modified version of one of the classes you'll get on Wednesday nights. You see the T-shirts we have. Our elders were allowed us to order these T-shirts, and I may have some more on Wednesday nights. Well, if you're interested in one, let me know. I'll try to get them to you. And I'm excited because I get to preach in a T-shirt and tennis shoes. So that was great. But Christians on campus, and one thing you'll read on the back of it, it says, know Him, make Him known. And at the bottom of that, you have Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. We call that the Great Commission. When you see these Bible verses, when you see scriptures, what you're really doing, you're reading God's instructions. God's instructions for us. And in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, we read, and I want you to understand, this is right before Jesus went back to be with His Father. So you can only imagine how important this message is, because it's one of the last times He actually talks to His disciples, to His followers. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. And I break that verse down. The first part of it, Jesus says, go. Go. You call yourself a Christian. How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to tell others what Jesus has done for you? 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 2 says, proclaim the word, be ready in season and out of season. I'm going to break that down for you. Jesus is telling us to go when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. In a gathering like this, or on Wednesday nights when we're studying God's word, it's not very challenging to talk to others about Jesus. What about when you're back at your dorm rooms? In the locker rooms? Are you willing to talk about him then? When it's inconvenient? Because Jesus says to go. Now, you may ask, where are we supposed to go? Or maybe a better way of saying it is, who am I supposed to tell? Well, Jesus says, go into all nations. Sometimes I'm afraid that we try to look around and try to determine who's worthy of my time and my effort to tell them about Christ. Maybe I look and say, do they look like me? Do they think like me? Do they have things in common with me? That's who I'm going to deem worthy of my time and my efforts to proclaim Christ to them. Jesus says, go to all nations. In Romans 14, verse 15, which is a fascinating study, but one part of this verse I want to focus on, it says, do not destroy your food the one for whom Christ died. Now, how much better would this world be? How much better would we follow Christ's instructions to go and tell others if every time we come in contact with anybody, the first thought we had was, that is somebody that Christ died for? Because that's the truth. Maybe there's somebody in your life that's challenging for you. Please don't name names. But you know who they are. The next time you encounter that individual, when you're walking up to them, I want you to think to yourself, that's somebody that Jesus Christ died for. I think it will help you in your relationship. I'll tell you another thing. One thing I see every single year, and I've been doing this for a while now, and I've witnessed it personally. Your age group sometimes struggles with your own self-worth. I see it every single year. Let me tell you who else Jesus died for. That individual you look at in the mirror every morning. That's somebody that Jesus died for. And when you have that scenario, if Jesus Christ died for you, you know what that makes you? That makes you priceless. That makes you priceless. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care where you're from. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care how big or small your bank account is. Jesus Christ died for you, and you are worthy of him. You're worthy of our time and our efforts to tell you about what he's done for you. Everybody is. Because, see, after you obey the gospel, after you're baptized into Christ, you are in Christ. We're all one. We're all one. How much better would this society be if we had that mindset? All together. Jesus says to make disciples. Well, what does that mean? That's just a fancy word for saying be followers of Jesus. Walk in his footsteps. Those are some big footsteps to try to fill. What's it mean to follow Christ? Well, Jesus breaks it down for us in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, listen to this, young people, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. That's so contrary to what the world's telling you. It's against the grain. To deny self. The world's going to tell you it's all about you. You got to look after number one, right? Well, what you're going to find out as you study your Bibles is a lot of times Christ and God tell us things that are not the same things the world's telling us. Jesus says to follow me, you got to deny self. You got to put me first. You got to be something that this society is not. It's selfless. You want to ruin any kind of relationship? Selfishness is one of the quickest ways to ruin any relationship. Be selfless. Put others in front of yourself. Now, you think about somebody in your life who are there the most content, full of joy individuals you've ever met. And I guarantee you most of the time, that's going to be somebody who's selfless. I think about individuals, and I'm not going to name her name. She sit up front here. She was just a precious, precious Christian. And I think about her, and the first thing that pops in my mind is she put others first. She was all about others. It was not about herself. And that's what it takes to follow him. How far do I have to go, Jesus? You said, take up my cross. What's that mean? Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. So what's it mean? How far do I got to go? It means I got to be willing to sacrifice, even to the point of death if that's what's necessary. There may be something in your life that you need to sacrifice. There may be a relationship or a habit or something going on in your life that's not in accordance to God's word. To follow Jesus, we've got to be willing to sacrifice. We've got to be willing to deny self. But how? How do I make disciples? Jesus says to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 says, or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also so walk in newness of life. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but to appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no power in this water. It's just water. The power is in the obedience to doing what God tells us to do. The power is in the blood of Christ. His resurrection is where the power is. But that's not the end. When you've obeyed the gospel, it's not all said and done. It's just the beginning. It's the beginning of your walk with him. What else does he say? After they become disciples, now teach them to observe all things that I command you. In Acts chapter 2, we have the perfect example. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So instead of it ending at baptism, it just started. So what do I got to do now? Now I'm supposed to listen to all the things Jesus has commanded. As a teacher, it's my job to instruct you on what God's word says. What are those instructions? What are those commandments? Because I want to know what God wants me to do. Don't you? This is the Alpha, the Omega. He's the creator of all. He's the one that's going to determine whether I spend eternity in heaven or hell. I want to know what he wants me to do. How do I do that? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Don't we take our Bibles for granted? We take them for granted. They sit on our end tables. They sit next to our beds. We got them on our phones. Well, I know me personally, I could spend more time listening to God's instructions, trying to figure out what he wants from us. Now, sometimes, young people, when you are trying your best to serve God, you're going to feel like this guy pushing. My girls are having a big laugh about that. You're going to feel like you're trying to push a rock up a hill. It's tough. It's hard. You're going to stumble. You're going to make mistakes. And what Satan's going to try to tell you is give up. You can't do it. Just give up. And I remind you of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It is for by grace or unmerited favor, you getting something you don't deserve. For by grace are you saved through faith. and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of man, lest any man should boast. You can spend the rest of your life, the time you get up, the time you go to bed, serving Christ each and every day, and you still don't deserve heaven. You still don't warrant the blood of Christ. You're saved by grace. And since we have that grace, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. It's such a sad thing to see somebody that's hopeless. But if you find yourself in Christ, faithful, not perfect, you're never without hope. There's always hope through His blood. And even though it's hard, even though it's challenging, it's so worth it. The inheritance is amazing. We get to spend eternity with our God above. What greater thing could there be than that? And although it's hard, Jesus, there at the end of this passage, He says, you don't have to do it alone. I'm not going to leave you out on an island. Good luck. He says, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived. He had tried everything under the sun during his life. Here's his conclusion. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. What I'm trying to get you to do, young people, is choose God for your lives. I promise you in the end, you're not going to regret it. Every Wednesday night, we're going to take time to study God's Word. We're going to fellowship. We're going to encourage one another, because who doesn't need encouragement? You know, in the middle of the week, we start getting tired. I'm not going to tell a story. There are some times on Wednesday night, I may have had a hard day at the postal service. That does happen occasionally. And to be honest, I don't want to go to church. I just don't. I'm wore out. I want to go home. I want to sit on the couch, not move. But guess what happens every single time? I'll go to church anyway, and I promise you I'm going to feel so much better on leave than before I got there. Without fail, it happens every single time. Choose God. What I'm asking you to do is to understand that we love you. And I don't want you to take my word for it. It's just words. Give me the opportunity to show you how much that we care about you, how much we love you. And even more important than that, God loves you. You see that, young people? We love you. God loves you. If you ever forget that, please get your phones out and call me. I'll be happy to remind you. Now, every worship service, we always offer the invitation. If you have any questions about anything that I've said or taught here tonight, reach out to me. I'll be happy to try to answer any questions you might have. If you've never obeyed the gospel, if you've never heard, believed, confessed, repented, had your sins washed away in baptism, we have that opportunity tonight. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've went away. You've turned away from God. You went back to the world. If you have any need tonight, you have that opportunity to come forward now while we stand and sing.
Our last song together today will be God's Family.
night. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We hope you'll come back each and every chance you get. I'm going to say the closing prayer, and I'm going to bless the food in the closing prayer. I ask you to remain seated, and if you are Northeast faculty, coaches, staff, I ask that after the closing prayer, you will come forward, and we want you to introduce yourself. Would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so privileged to be here this evening. We pray, Father, that everything that we've said and done is to your glory, to your honor. Father, we love you so much. I pray, Father, that you'll be with these young people as they go through this school year. Keep them safe, Father. We pray that they would look to you for guidance, and we pray, Father, that they would always choose you in their lives. Lord, we love you so much. We also thank you for the food we're about to partake. We pray that you would bless it to nourish our bodies, and we pray that we would always give our bodies to your service. Lord, we thank you for all things, but especially your precious Son. In his name we do humbly pray. Amen. All staff, please come forward.
I'll let him go first.
Let me get on the end.
All right, great. Thank you all so much. We always look forward to coming to Moomba Church of Christ and just fellowshipping with you all and just sharing God's Word, and it's always a blessing to us. My name is Ricky Ford. I'm the president of Northeast Mississippi Community College, which I consider to be the premier community college in the country, as always. And it is that way because of the tremendous employees that we have working at Northeast. We could not be that. And then all for the great students and student athletes that we have that are here tonight. So on behalf of all of these great employees and students, we want to say thank you to the Moomba Church of Christ for sharing with us not only tonight, but every day of the year that we're here. Thank you so much for just being a part of the lives of our great students that we have. And again, we're just so appreciative of that. And as we go forward this year, you know, we've talked about praying for our students, and I would request that you pray for all of the employees, including myself, as we try to lead these students at Northeast and try to get them to a level that they can be very, very successful. So thank you all for what you do and the part you play in the lives of our students and the employees at Northeast. So thank you. I think we're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to start over here to this side, so I'll let them start.
I'm Ray Mason. I'm in maintenance.
Stevie Loveless, machining technology.
Danielle Ashley, athletic training.
Anna Bolton, athletic training.
Caden Mitchell, athletic training.
Stedman Campbell, football.
Will Bolin, I teach sociology, American government, and history.
Sally Bolin, I teach accounting.
Lee Treelore, I'm a student athlete success coach and women's golf coach.
Cameron Talley, I'm a psychology instructor and cheer coach.
I'm Harley Reeder, I'm the assistant softball coach.
Bobby Robbins, assistant softball coach.
Tatiana Lawton, assistant women's basketball coach.
Brian Middleton, women's basketball.
Rich Harrelson, baseball coach.
Ryan Wesson, baseball.
I'm Andre Stringer, men's basketball.
Cord Wright, men's basketball.
Brenda Mays, assistant athletic director and volleyball.
Brandon Elliott, facility operations and softball dad.
Rebecca Elliott, business management instructor.
Crystal White, business and office technology instructor.
Michelle Barragona, instruction office.
Erica Miller, athletic success coach.
Brady Ingram, student athlete success coach.
Anna Palmer, practical nursing.
Leanne Stewart, counseling.
Elena Cooper, dental hygiene.
Amy Langley, music.
Carrie Davis, adult education.
Greg Davis, football.
Jody Long, softball.
Sean Cannon, football.
Dallas Payne, football.
Trevor Stigers, football.
Derek Devon, golf and industrial and electrical technology instructor.
Cedric Shell, football.
Blake Long, sports information, and a shout out to my guy JFO on the second row. Wave your hand, JFO.
Again, thank y'all for coming out. I'm going to tell you, when you go in the annex, go down the stairs, you're going to see a bunch of different lines. Work your way to the left. Start at the very back. Keep on working your way to the back. Get two lines on every table. And we have, hey, one good thing this year, you get to eat in air conditioning. We have a big new building. Nobody's going to eat outside in the heat. You're dismissed. Thank you.